life.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get your booty on the dance floor. Work it out. Shake it, little mama. Let me see you do the
J. Oh, you damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Monday. Welcome to your new week. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling, back from Chicago, but up in the Dallas area today. You heard he and Brad, Middays with Trey and BK, live from Frisco with Big 12 Media Days today. They'll be doing the same thing tomorrow. In fact, we'll talk with both of those guys before the show is done and see what they saw and what they heard today at Big 12 Media Days. That means we need somebody to produce the show, and Brian Fitzgerald has stepped in once again. Thanks to Brian for helping out. Cameron, our great intern, is here today as well, the Oklahoma State student. He's going to be paying specific attention tomorrow at the end of everything, mm-hmm. in the noon hour, when Mike Gundy and the most famous mullet in all of college football steps to the mic tomorrow.
So what did you take out of today?
Well, my favorite little factoid out of today, and then I'll get to the biggest story, I think. My favorite little factoid is that Kenneth Murray, the middle linebacker for Oklahoma, claims he's watched the Rose Bowl 128 times.
Man.
I enjoyed that. I like that.
128 is pretty specific.
128. He's been counting individually. This is a sophomore linebacker. If you don't know the name, don't feel bad, because he was newcomer. You particularly will love this. He was Big 12 Defensive Newcomer of the Year.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth.
Right.
Consider everything that means. But that's what he was last year.
He was the guy in wrong holes in that game, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm sure that's why he wanted to go over the film multiple times.
Give him credit.
128.
That's a tough watch.
128. But to me, the big story of the day, whether it's a story or not, is that Lincoln Riley would not call Kyler Murray his quarterback. He said, Kyler's not the quarterback yet. And he went into big answers about Kyler and what's this kid's name? Austin Kendall. That these are his two guys. And I would just warn him, with all of the things that I've heard about Kyler Murray and Kevin Murray and the kind of weird pressure they can put on a coach, he better know exactly what he's doing there. Either he's already told Kyler, look, dude, I'm going to say whatever I'm going to say, but you're my guy, or Kyler Murray is actually comfortable with a quarterback battle.
You mean he's got to win the job? Ooh.
Right.
So, what a mean guy.
Yeah, what a horrible decision. I love the idea. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea that, yeah, you need a competition, but there's two big factors here with Kyler Murray. A, just the stories that we've heard so far. Again, with him and his dad and whatever, however they deal with their business. But then secondarily, that baseball thing,
mm-hmm.
that's just kind of hanging over the whole deal. The guy's going to sign a multi-million dollar deal to play baseball, but he says he's going to play 1 year of football, and you're going to maybe not have him as your quarterback? So that, I don't know. That to me was the big story that I heard today, the big thing I heard today. Not that it's a story, but...
Could be playing fall ball in October.
Could be, right? Exactly. You never know. But that, to me, was the biggest thing. If Lincoln Riley is going to sit up there and tell us that he's still got a quarterback battle going on, that was my big takeaway from the day.
I think we know Kyler Murray's probably going to win that job.
I think we do. But for him to say it, I thought was...
Yeah, no, it was definitely the thing I took out of today. What about Cliff?
Fairly bold. Cliff can wear clothes that I could never wear, and he makes them look a lot better than I could make them look. That was a weird suit today. But Cliff is a guy that, as I watched him talk, and then the guy that followed him, I was thinking about the middle of this conference. We know who's really bad in this conference, pretty clear. If you look at the standings from last year, you can tell who's really bad, Baylor, Kansas. You can tell who's good, Oklahoma, give TCU that love because of Patterson maybe. But then really there's those six teams in the middle that are kind of a glob, right, of... What are you not bringing back? You don't have a quarterback. I trust you as a coach, but you don't have a quarterback. There's all that going on. But to me, Campbell is the guy that might be messing with Cliff Kingsbury the most, because a Texas Tech fan years ago could go into a season thinking, okay, well, we're going to beat that team. We're going to beat that team. They've got Kansas and Baylor on that list now, but Iowa State's not really on that list.
No.
Iowa State got them last year, plus they beat Oklahoma and TCU, and I think that puts some weird, unexpected pressure on Kingsbury. Yep. So watching those two guys today, I wondered, I wonder who's the best out of those guys this year. That game could really help determine a lot of things.
Yeah, and also where is Cliff right now? I know that they had a big buyout with him, and that was a concern. He talked about how the depth is light years ahead of where it has been, and he's specifically talking defense, but talking about, I think, all of it. But they also don't know who their quarterback is, and he says he wants one. That's how I've done it.
And he's got three guys.
He's got three guys.
Right. He's got three guys he's looking at. You're right. He says he wants one dude. October 27th, they are at Iowa State, and Iowa State comes off a bye that week. And they will have just played TCU a couple weeks before that. So it's in a bit of a tough stretch. It's a stretch that nobody will really pay attention to. But in terms of, you know, do you end up with 7 or 8 wins, or are you right at that 500 line and people want to fire you? That's a big time game.
Yeah, it is.
And he's got to go there. He's got to go to Matt Campbell. That was the one of those games. But then obviously the very first game of the year I'm interested in too with Cliff. Can Texas Tech, we always rip on them, or at least sometimes we rip on them for their non-conference. Lamar's not great. We know that's not a great schedule. But to have Ole Miss to start, and then he plays Houston.
Mm-hmm. They could lose both those.
They could lose them both. What if
they could be 1-4.
What if he wins one of those two?
Check that. They could be 1-6 going to Ames. Could be. I don't think they will be, but you see the schedule?
Uh-huh. Right. No, they got some tough stuff when they start conference. So if
they have to start with Oklahoma State, after Houston, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU, and then Kansas. So they'd probably be Kansas. Yeah, they'd be Kansas. I thought it was Kansas State. All right.
So that's going to be two wins going into that. You know, if Phil Steele's right and Ole Miss has the best receiving core in America and can get their quarterback tied in a little bit, their quarterback has more experience than whatever Tech's going to bring.
Oh, Tech has the best secondary maybe in America.
They just might. You never know. They got a better defense.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we all need to calm down on this Tech defensive stuff.
I think we do.
Definitely need to calm down on that. But, Cliff is going to have a really good – that's a nice start to the year for all the rest of us. I don't know if it's a great start for Cliff, but at least we'll get to find out right away. And their first conference game is at Stillwater. Hello.
10 starters back. I think the majority, if not the whole offensive line, is back for Tech. Mm-hmm. This is a team that – you got to feel comfortable with some stuff. You question, okay, the 10 guys are back. You've been better on defense. You have more depth. Just how much better? And then are you going to get enough quarterback play to really make you guys a threat in this conference?
Yeah. So Tech was a part of it today. If you missed it, the five teams. You got TCU to start. Then it was Kansas, Tech, Iowa State, and Oklahoma finished it off. So Lincoln Riley finished off today. And by the way, I was wrong about the number of quarterbacks. I think I saw a list that just wasn't complete. Five different quarterbacks are here. Greer, who will be talking tomorrow. Kyle Kemp and with Iowa State. Robinson with TCU, and then Delton and Thompson both with K-State, because they're five quarterbacks.
Both came, okay.
Yeah, but the biggest dogs in this conference historically didn't bring quarterbacks with them, and once Lincoln Riley said what he said today, I guess I really understood that. If he had been ready to tell us that Kyler Murray was absolutely his guy and let Kyler talk to the media, I guess he would have been there.
Yeah, and it's a cyclical year for quarterbacks in the Big 12, and expand that also in the country. Because some of those great quarterbacks top in the country were where? In the Big 12.
That's true. Yeah.
State of Oklahoma alone.
Right, those two schools by themselves going to have to replace a little bit. So we'll definitely talk football today. A lot of college football talk as we are 47 days away from Texas and Maryland in that first big college Saturday.
Kevin Wattler, is he still playing?
Kevin Wattler? I'm not sure if there's eligibility left there.
Kevin Wattler played for 6 years. He was a six-year guy.
Was that right at Texas?
Yeah. Medical stuff.
Oh, keep on going.
Keep on going.
See, you're gonna start to see some more of these guys that are going to feel like they're going longer and longer with this new redshirt rule.
Six-year guy.
That's a long time. Long time. We always talk about also my guy Justin McLemore from Waxahachie because of injuries. Justin played a long time, too.
Yeah, he may have been a six-year guy, too.
You and I have talked. Carlos Huerta at Miami played forever.
Right. That wasn't an injury, though. That was some weird rule.
It was weird stuff.
Kicked for a decade.
There was some guy back in the day, some linebacker for Syracuse, I think got 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a rarity. I can't remember the names.
Kevin
Conlin or Quinlan or something like that.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
But these are guys that that do get to go for a while. It is the Horn. We'll talk plenty of football. Also, today really is. Today through, you can argue, Thursday. When they talk about the dead time, the dead zone of sports, oh, this is it. Because it's Home Run Derby tonight to fill the void. All-Star Game tomorrow night. Wednesday, wasteland.
Yeah.
Thursday, one baseball game has been scheduled. Your Cubs.
Cardinals.
Back at it with the Cardinals. Then the full schedule comes back on Friday. So if you have honeydews, if you have things going on around the house, whatever it is, books you need to finish, these are your few days to get something done.
Comedians in Cars. I know that Netflix is putting back up all the layover episodes from Bourdain.
Okay.
Sacha Baron Cohen. I haven't seen that, but recorded that.
Now, what's that?
Who's America on Showtime.
Oh, no. I didn't know he had a new show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Apparently it is.
I'm sure it's extremely sensitive.
Apparently it's pretty good.
Never crosses any lines.
I can't wait to watch that. So, yeah, I'm getting all that in, but I'll watch the Home Run Derby tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out, too. Yeah, by the way, coming up in at least one of the crap bags today, I'll do the same thing. I go over some TV that you may want to check out these next couple days. We do also know, if you're just jumping in, we know our starters for the All-Star Game tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Great matchup.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer against Chris Sale.
Not bad. I hope Max doesn't go that long. But, he's going to go, and DeGrom would have been the other choice. Roberts talked about, and then A.J. Hinch said, well, Verlander went Sunday, so he was kind of taken out of the mix. But he seriously looked at, who else did he look at? Blake Snell and some other AL starter. He said, you know, there's definitely some competition there.
Yeah, they both have 0.90 whips after one half, or technically one half of the season.
Yeah, they're silly. Sale is sillier, he's nastier, but both are bulldogs.
That is crazy. That's going to be tomorrow night in the All-Star Game. We'll also talk some Home Run Derby. You got that coming up tonight, the new format of the Home Run Derby, the bracket system, the timing system that tries to get things moving a little quicker. I thought it was much better last year in terms of the rhythm of everything. Maybe you didn't get that big, huge, oh my God, he hit 25 homers, but then a lot of times that guy didn't win.
Yeah.
So I thought last year was pretty good.
Yeah, it felt good. I wish there would be maybe bigger names playing. Names are big enough for me, but I'm also curious to see some of these smaller guys like Javi Baez and Bregman and how they match up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I went to the Astros game Saturday and saw Bregman. He's fun to watch live.
How was it?
I thought the same thing with him. I was like, what is he going to look like in a Home Run Derby?
Mm-hmm.
How durable? In fact, the timing thing might help a guy like that.
Yeah, well, he said he's going to try and just hit line drives out and get as many pitches as he can. So there aren't these towering fly balls. I mean, I think some of that was a little tongue-in-cheek. But, yeah, one of those guys will probably show up. One will probably just try and get under it too much.
Yeah. We had a good situation.
Probably Baez.
My kid really enjoyed the game. You couldn't have dialed up a better game for a child to watch. She wanted the Astros to win. She wanted Altuve to do something. He did early.
What do you do?
Just single. And
single.
Single, got to second, being a smart base runner, and then came home being a smart base runner.
Nice.
Just being Jose Altuve.
Right.
And then she got to see lots of runs. We saw three Astros homers, including back-to-back. Now, not the guys she wanted to see hit them, but back-to-back solo shots, and then another one later.
Gattis got one.
That's always right? Fun. It was Gattis after Reddick. I think Reddick and Gattis went back-to-back, and then later it was it's the guy who played catcher. Fedorowicz, maybe?
Did
Fedorowicz take one out?
Fedorovich.
Fedorovich.
Yeah,
excuse
Tim
me.
Fedorovich.
I screwed up the name.
That's all right.
I screwed up the other day, too.
North Carolina guy.
Yeah, I think he was the one that hit it out. I actually have it right
I think
here.
He did.
Is he the guy? No.
Stassi?
My bad. White. It was a replacement guy. Is it James White? Is that his name? White's the last name.
I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit of a thicker guy that got out there, played a little first base. Tyler White.
Yeah. Atmosphere good and all that?
Oh, yeah, it was good. They love that team. You can tell. Nice energy in the building. And, it's 98 degrees outside. Roof's closed. It was cool. Now, up towards the top where we were up in the 400 section. It does get a tad warm up there because the screen's up there with you. And then the sun, if it's hitting that side of the building. Not Arlington, though. Yeah, overall, though, as the game went on, you could feel, okay, no, I'm feeling it. It's feeling pretty good.
Nice. I'm glad you guys had a good time. They ended up winning the series but lost yesterday.
They lost yesterday. Verlander got busted a little bit.
Yeah, and that's his former team the first time he faced him, so I don't know if they have any tips on him or just have seen him so much. But he pitched really. I mean, it was a weird game. He had 12 strikeouts and gave up four or five homers.
Yeah, that's what. In watching, I saw a kind of a breakdown of the game, and it's like he was either striking people out or giving up bombs.
Yeah, I know. If you're a strikeout homer type person, it was your game.
That's a weird. It's a weird thing to be. By the way, have you heard? Speaking of Verlander, that Miss Upton is pregnant at this point?
No,
there's a progeny on the way.
I saw her on the private jet. They had that they were taking to the All-Star game.
Boy, you talk about a lucky kid. You talk about just you breastfeed till five and a half if you can.
Right.
Whatever she says.
How old is he? 8. He just loves mom.
That must be. Life doesn't get any better than that.
No.
For a baby. There's no way.
I doubt he's going to look at it like you and I.
No, he won't. He or
let's hope not.
He or she will not look at
hope
it
not.
That way. Yes, let's definitely hope not. So we'll mix in some baseball today, too, on a very slow day in sports. But obviously, we've got Big 12 Media Days to help us out. We're going to talk to some of our guys that were there today. We'll grab Rod Babers in the 4 o'clock hour, Brad Kellner in the 5, Trey Elling in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll probably grab Bucky and Aaron tomorrow, get their thoughts on the whole thing. But our guys are up there covering it and getting interviews and getting to talk to these people. So it's a good way to get the discussion started about what we've got coming in the Big 12. But the theme I kept hearing today over and over again, wide open, wide open, wide open, and so many questions.
Yeah, the theme that we heard was the theme we've been talking about for a couple months. And a lot of people have been talking about. It's not like we split the atom on that. If you watch the Big 12, watched it last year and have a pretty good feel, you know that it is going to be open this year. Right?
It is. It's going to be it's because the only guy that you absolutely know is going to be back at quarterback, that the team trusts him and the coaches all trust him, it's only Greer.
Right. And they're always going to have other questions.
Right.
For me to go, oh, West Virginia is a clear favorite.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't even think Holgorsen feels that way.
No. Dana doesn't want to hear that.
They know they've got issues. Something else I noticed today looking over Oklahoma stuff. We've talked about how Texas gets a couple of advantages that I would argue schedule-wise. That there's an advantage leading into that USC game based on what USC is going to play. Then we talked about the other day that there's a similar advantage when it comes to, I think it was the Oklahoma State.
They each have a bye before?
They each have a bye there. And then what was the other one? The TCU thing I brought up the other day. That TCU comes off a rivalry game and Ohio State before they play Texas. Oklahoma.
USC comes off Stanford.
And USC comes off Stanford. But Oklahoma, it's exactly the opposite. That's another thing to consider. Oklahoma starts with Florida Atlantic. They'll win that game. Although that is Lane Kiffin. Let's give Lane a quick moment. And I believe Art Briles' kid is still there. Because that makes sense. UCLA is their game.
And Kendall with Houston?
Oh, Kendall moved on. You're right. I'm sorry. Kendall moved on because major. Yeah, right. Got it. Never mind. So UCLA is their September 8th game. Then they go to Iowa State, and that's an interesting game too. Iowa State beat them. They'll be trying to return the favor in Ames. But from then to when they play.
Saturday game too. I was surprised.
That's true. But from then to when they play Texas, they play Army and Baylor. At home, each game at home, then they come to Dallas. The Longhorns, as we know, are in a tough stretch, and they have to go to K-State right before they play Oklahoma.
So they've got, in 3 consecutive weeks, USC, TCU, and Manhattan.
Right. So Texas is going to come into Dallas battle-tested, but Oklahoma should be a lot fresher and you would think a little more ready for that game just in terms of the fatigue level. We'll see. But that one jumped out to me today as I was looking at Oklahoma's schedule.
Maybe fatigue and beat up, but Texas should come in there knowing more who they are.
Yes. Which that game, that's important in that game.
Yes, it is.
We've watched that over the years.
Get that flushed out before.
The team that has no idea who they are coming to Dallas can be in a little bit of trouble. And the other thing I listened to in listening to Lincoln Riley today, they asked him about leadership and who are your guys. We've talked about this, right? Who's going to step up for Oklahoma? And he started naming all kinds of random guys. He named Rodney Anderson, the running back. Mm-hmm. Then he named like every offensive lineman he's got. One of these guys has to step up. Boom, 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 boom. He just started naming them randomly. I'm like, okay. Then he said that Kenneth Murray, the middle linebacker on defense, needs to step up as a leader. Well, he's a sophomore. Like, okay. And then he named Norwood, defensive back, sophomore. He named Bledsoe, defensive lineman,
a junior,
who I honestly don't remember that name.
What about Caleb Kelly?
He never didn't say Caleb Kelly's name.
Junior, top 5 recruit, that dude?
Yeah, never said his name. Mentioned Gallimore, a backup defensive lineman. So the guys he said, plus the guys he didn't say. And yes, this is the time of year where we pick apart answers like that. But just kind of one of those themes that they're going to have to deal with. They've got to have somebody stepping up both sides of the ball now, because we knew who their guy was last year. That team would follow Baker Mayfield through a field that was on fire. It didn't matter.
Yeah, and he bailed out the defense a lot. We'll see if they have an offense that can do that this year. I doubt it'll be at that pace.
Well, and we mentioned that Murray says he's watched...
Maybe that pace, but not that efficient of bailing people out.
Murray says he's watched the Rose Bowl 128 times. If we all watched that game, it was phenomenal. But remember, Oklahoma was up multiple scores multiple times. They were up 21-7. They were up, I think it was 31-14 maybe, or 31-17. And they just kept giving stuff up. If I were Murray, I'd go back and watch it over and over again, too. Because that was not an Oklahoma-quality defense. If you get up 30...
About 128. If I'm Murray, especially. I don't like OUNF up for the kid watching
it. That's right. You get up 31-14 or 31-17 as an Oklahoma team in a playoff game, you're supposed to win that game. You're supposed to... Baker Mayfield's supposed to win that.
Right.
You're not supposed to turn to Baker Mayfield and go, dude, we need 53 out of you win this game.
It was just how it looked, though, too. I mean, Murray picked the wrong door so many times. I was thinking about him as a freshman, but also thinking about Mike Stoops and how long the year's been, and this is where Kenneth Murray is.
Right. That's a great point, too. Yeah, we talked about it coming out of that game. That's where you were. This is the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
This is January. That's where your defense is.
It was not a Final Four defense.
They have got to figure some of that out. Oklahoma was the last team out today. They let Lincoln Riley go last. They let Gary Patterson go first today. He's the most tenured coach in the Big 12, so they gave him that nod and let him go first. We actually didn't talk about the biggest story of the day. Did you catch the Bob Bowlesby press conference? I mean, that's always a thriller.
I did not, but I saw some quotes.
Yeah.
Which is as thrilling as listening to it.
That is true.
Just seeing it in print.
They need to put his voice on a white noise machine app. Because I've been trying to find these lately. Sometimes when I'm traveling, I need that.
Yeah.
I found a Rain one over the weekend. I just slept with Rain. But if I could just sleep with Bob Bowlesby talking, I think I could sleep.
You found a Rain one, huh?
Yeah, it was nice.
Nice.
You can control how much thunder and lightning you have.
That's pretty cool.
And how hard the rain is falling. It's nice. That was really cool.
Yeah, Bowlesby was asked about Texas and how good they were in the postseason and all that, right?
Yeah.
20 for 20.
Yeah, he brought it up.
Oh, did he bring that up?
Well, of course, he's the Big 12 commissioner.
Yeah. Why am I surprised?
One of his member schools, he's got to mention that.
Why am I surprised?
It's one of those kind of interesting but ultimately meaningless things to bring up at a football media days. So why not? Because that's what fans care about, right? That's what a Texas fan cares about today. Every one of your sports went to the postseason. Yeah, that's what Longhorn fans brag about.
There's some pride there.
Bob, there is some. But it's not really where your focus is when
today.
You talk about your football team.
Fair.
When Tom Herman hits tomorrow, I bet you nobody in the Austin media stands up and asks him that one. Hey, Tom, are you proud that all the Texas teams went to the postseason? They're not going to do that.
Any future stuff with Bowlesby? I didn't see that. Any long-term overview stuff?
No. They didn't really. Kirk Bowles asked about the conference, and he thought he was asking an expansion question, and Kirk was asking a different question. So it never really got asked in terms of, is the expansion thing gone or done? He took it into a different realm in terms of the conference championship game and kind of the respect level of the conference. Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman asked multiple coaches about, well, the conference seems to be on good standing right now. It's at a good spot. Do you see that on the recruiting trail? Things like that. But nobody really went after any kind of, is this conference still going to survive 10 years? Nobody really went down that road.
Okay.
Bowlesby was, and he'd ask some just kind of general stuff that we can get into as well. But Big Three coming up, we'll get you all the big stories of the day. Again, it is a dead time in sports, but we got Home Run Derby tonight. Also, we'll remind you what happened in the W's over the weekend, World Cup and Wimbledon. Also, a big story out of the NFL. If you're a fantasy owner in the NFL, you're going to want to pay attention to this wacky Schefter rumor. I didn't throw it out there. Adam Schefter threw this out there earlier today. It will affect your fantasy thinking, so don't move. This is The Horn. Chad and Kevin getting started on a Monday. It is hard to write a song about the Loch Ness Monster, but this band tried back in the 80s. You recognize this song?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never asked you about this band and your sister. Was your sister into the Police and then Sting and all that whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was too. I like Police.
Okay.
And Sting. The Police,
the drummer of the Police, the great Stuart Copeland, 66 years old today. Hell of a drummer, hell of a band, the Police.
So, Trampy texting in. We forgot about this, too. Charlie Weiss's son is the OC at Florida Atlantic. So that will be fun to watch.
Oh, okay. See, I knew there was some famous name.
It was
name.
Someone that they replaced it with. And that made sense to me.
Okay.
Because Kiffin and Weiss would have something in common. Dad's a really well-known coach. Maybe you're getting the job too soon.
The nepotism staff. Are you the staff of nepotism at FAU? Yeah, that is Oklahoma's first game. They will host Florida Atlantic. Okay, so it's Weiss that's coming in with Lane Kiffin there. Also want to remind you the British Open is coming this week as part of this. We said the beginning of this week, there's a lot of deadness, but you got baseball at the beginning and you have some golf helping out at the end. They're going to Carnoustie for the British Open. Jordan Spieth defends his title. 1:55 in the morning on the 19th is when you have to have your picks in for our golf challenge, the Fantasy Golf Challenge. You can walk away with a $100 gift card to the League Kitchen and Tavern. So go to hornfm.com for registration details. Don't forget to check those standings throughout the tournament. It was an interesting story that Jordan Spieth didn't realize that when you gave back the claret jug, you didn't just give it to somebody. They have a ceremony. So he said it was worse once they had the ceremony.
Oh, okay. He's like, that's what that, okay.
Well, this kind of sucks. Like, I thought I was just going to, some dude was going to meet me in the parking lot.
I got to be here for this.
And I was going to hand him a box and we were done. But no, I have to go through a ceremony and hand you back the claret jug.
So you don't get to keep that.
They have one, the actual one that he gets on the course, no. I think they give him a replica that he's got back at the house.
Okay.
But the thing they actually handed him on the golf course, you get it for a year, then you have to bring it back to him.
That would suck.
That would suck.
If they didn't get you a replica.
I believe they do that. They finally started doing that in tennis, too. They didn't used to get him a replica in tennis. They used to take it from him at the edge of the court, and you never, it's like, hey, wait, what are you doing? And all you got was the money.
Did you get your thoughts on that? You said Joker would win, and he did.
Yeah, he did. That third set had a little bit to it, but that's exactly what I thought we would see. Anderson was just exhausted, and he played bad tennis. Put those two together, ugh, 2-2 those first two sets. Yeah.
They're not huge fans of Joker there, though.
No.
He's asking for more applause.
Yeah, he is. He's a weird dude. He's just really strange how he carries the sport. It's a little strange, little villainy to him. And he doesn't like it. He doesn't think he's a villain. And in fact, the people that know him, he's an incredible human being, apparently. He's like Yvonne Lendl. It's the best way I can compare Djokovic. Deep down, are they guys that could watch your kids? And are they guys that would help you out of a bad situation? Yes.
Yeah.
But there's something about the way they play tennis that fans don't like.
I got you.
So, and I get it. My mom doesn't like Djokovic. That tells you all you need to know. My mom's the sweetest person I've ever met. And then she'll tell me, something about Djokovic. I just don't know if I like him, Chad.
Wow.
I'm like, okay.
That Serena, that surprised you?
It did. Yeah.
Straight sets?
Straight sets. 3-3. That's one of the worst losses she's had in a Grand Slam final, just in terms of score.
What happened?
She played badly. She overhit a ton. I mean, she was just missing. She'd miss, you know, 2-3 inches out a lot. Just overhitting, couldn't get it, couldn't dial it in. You know, I guess the baseball analogy would be a pitcher that just can't quite get that. You got the velo, you just can't quite get the spot.
Get it in the zone,
right,
your control.
You can't quite get it where you want it, and things just go bad after that.
Now, Joker Nadal, we would have missed that because that would have been suspended.
They finished up. That was a great match, man.
We lived up to it?
Yeah, 10-8 in the fifth, and Djokovic, he looked a little better than Nadal through that whole match. I was hoping Nadal could find a way to turn it, but no. Novak was better.
Okay.
He was better. So, in fact, let's throw some more stuff here in the Big Three in case you missed the weekend.
The Big Three.
In addition to Wimbledon, we covered that. Angelique Kerber, congrats. She beats Serena. And a weird little stat. She is now the only woman that has beaten Serena twice in a Grand Slam final that's not named Venus Williams.
Really?
So there you go. So Angelique Kerber is the answer to that question. The answer to who won the World Cup is France. France beat Croatia. Not a lot of drama there. They got up, they extended their lead, and by the end there wasn't a whole lot to do other than figure out a final score. They win it 4-2. Belgium got the third place spot, winning 2-0 over England, and the second World Cup for France. So congrats to the French team. And that young kid that you talked
great.
About.
19-year-old. Woo-hoo. I mean, up and down. They play for me an entertaining brand of soccer. But just the whole scene, you've talked about it. In Paris.
Oh, my God.
And I was rooting for Croatia, but I wasn't anti-Paris or anti the French team.
You were just hoping Croatia could win.
Right.
Because it's a small country. And
as much as that'll do it for me. But it was cool seeing their celebration and how much it meant to them, knowing all the crap they've been through.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the big three, and we do have a sponsor, kids.
This segment brought to you by The Yellow Rose. Book your bachelor party at The Yellow Rose, known for the best bachelor party destination in Central Texas. Learn more at yellowrose.com.
Damn right. Yeah, and Mbappe, that goal he had was awesome. You talk about not much room to play with. And for him to be, I think he's 19 years old.
19.
For you to play well in a World Cup is cool, but normally 19-year-olds don't score goals in the World Cup. That's not a normal thing.
It was a coming out party, and I'll be curious to see where he goes. I know we've had some soccer people tell us, so he's definitely going to be jumping up in terms of leagues.
So did you catch the presentation of the medals and the trophy?
I didn't. I saw it was raining.
It started to pour. I don't think one drop fell during the game that I could tell.
I didn't either.
But then it starts pouring, and they had security guys trying to get umbrellas out and everything. And I'll admit, a part of it that I kind of enjoyed was the Croatian prime minister in the rain. Because she's this, I don't know how old she is, but she's blonde and she's attractive. And then there was something about watching her get wet and having to deal with it.
You sicko.
But still trying to be presidential or still trying to be a prime minister. But she's out there still hugging the guys and smiling, and her makeup never ran. Good for her. That was awesome. All right, so what else? We got Big 12 Media Days today. We talked about that. And the other thing we need to mention is this NFL thing. Adam Schefter tweeted something out earlier today saying that Le'Veon Bell, what he's hearing is Le'Veon Bell might sit the first half of the season if he doesn't get a long-term deal.
They're going to franchise him, probably?
Right. They would tag him, and then he would just not play, I guess?
He'd be missing out on a lot of money. He won't.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, it'll be like an Aaron Donald situation. Maybe sit out one.
Sit out some camp?
Right. Miss camp. Oh, miss camp. I totally get that.
Once those checks start hitting?
Right.
That's where I don't pretend like I know their world, but when you start talking about walking from a game check, that's when I want to step in just on their behalf and say, oh, come on, man. That sport takes a lot from you. This is what they're giving you. You got to take it. And the tag is an insult. I get it. But the tag is also the average of the top five guys at your position or top mm-hmm. 10 or whatever that number is. Still a decent amount of money.
And the position doesn't have value anymore. Not long term.
Well, that's true. He does, though.
Not like he would have.
Well, he's at least got value in the first half of this season, I guess.
He does. But if you want a long-term deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's what the Steelers and all these teams are trying to factor in right now is how long do we keep a running back? How long does it make sense? So I get it. There was interesting discussion today of running backs in the Big 12. That there are, of all the things that aren't there in the Big 12, running backs are coming back. Like
yep.
Five of the top six rushers in the conference.
Talked about it last week.
Are back, right? You talked about that, whether it's Montgomery or
Justice Hill.
Justice Hill at Oklahoma State. The one or two guys at Oklahoma.
Definitely Rodney Anderson. He's back.
Anderson, we know, is a stud. TCU bringing mm-hmm. back a couple guys. So,
yeah
it is a bizarre position in football nowadays. So, Le'Veon Bell, just to keep it out there, if you're a fantasy owner, I'd keep my eye on that. I guess you still have to get him if you can, but that could really throw a weird wrench into a fantasy team.
We'll get JD on pretty soon because I know people were already doing mock drafts and prepping for it. You know, Wags has done multiple mock drafts.
That shocks me to know that.
What do you think about that, a fantasy mock draft?
Got to be prepared.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't even know.
Trying to get as many reps in there as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you got to practice, right? Practice
yeah.
to be good. That's the thing I'll never make fun of in that world, because the one thing I couldn't deal with is the pressure of a draft, because I know I'd screw something up. I don't know enough about where everything is slotted, so I know I'd be holding things up.
Well, you can know the sport and it doesn't matter.
Right, I'd make dumb picks.
I went back and looked at my draft and just how, I've obviously joked around about it because my team's been so awful, but like my draft was brutal. Now, I knew an hour before that I was going to be drafting and hadn't played fantasy in 10 years and played it once. So it's about knowing the league too, right? Knowing, it, I mean, you know, I built it like a GM would.
Yeah.
Not like a fantasy guy would.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I can't get that mindset.
I can't either. I'm with you.
I'm not good on that mindset. But if you are a fantasy player, that is a story to definitely keep in mind. Talking a lot of football today, college football specifically, with Big 12 Media Days cranking up. It was TCU, Kansas, Texas Tech, Iowa State, and Oklahoma. And again, if there is a big story of the day with Oklahoma, the team that's picked to win the conference, Lincoln Riley says today that as of right now, he does not have a starting quarterback. Kyler Murray's not the starter. He says Kyler Murray and Austin Kendall are still battling for this job. I'm not sure if I believe him, but that's what he said.
Keep the motivation there for Kyler, right?
You're right. That would be the theory.
And let Austin feel like he has a chance.
Give Kendall the hope.
Give him the hope. And motivation and hope.
For Texas fans, is that what Tom Herman's doing right now? Or is there a real battle going on?
I think more of a real battle than that one.
Okay.
But yeah, same, trying to get the same thing out of it.
So it's not just keep Shane interested and keep Sam motivated.
Motivated. Or trying to get the best out of him as right. you possibly can until the first game.
Well, that's an interesting game to play.
That's what coaching's about, right?
That's right. When you don't quite know who your guy is. Or maybe you do know who your guy is and you got to play it out here on July 16th. We'll talk more football coming up. Also, coming up in the crap bag, I'll go over the Astros game. I had a lot of fun there. Also, a little TV for you. It is that dry time in terms of sports. So if you don't love the home run derby, I got a couple ideas for you in the next couple days TV-wise. But we'll definitely talk some derby as well today. Hope you're having a great Monday. This is The Horn. For a second, it sounded like one of my wife's favorite movies. It sounded like a horror movie there for a second. Very scary.
Thought I knew this, and now I don't.
Sounds kind of spooky.
It is. There's definitely like, spooky.
This sounds like something Trent Reznor would have put his stamp of approval on.
Reznor? I know I've heard that name.
Nine Inch Nails guys.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a female voice. I don't know, Brian. What do you got?
Portishead.
Portishead. Of course, Portishead.
Beth Gibbons.
This is good.
I'm not familiar with Portishead. She's the lead singer of Portishead?
Correct.
Portis. Haven't heard of her. I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, I hear the band's name all the time. Never looked into Portishead with a female lead singer.
So how was Friday at your house?
How was Friday? Oh, the 13th?
Yeah.
She watched them all day. She watched Jason movies pretty much all day long. At one point, I think the kid took the TV over, and she didn't watch as much as she wanted to. But she got a good bit in.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She got a pretty good bit in.
I saw people enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She gets way into that stuff. Yeah, loves her Friday the 13th. But we all survived it. I got through Friday the 13th. Hope everybody out there got through it without any weird superstitions or strange things going on.
It was fine with me.
Hope nothing went too wrong. All right, speaking of things going wrong, let's see what's in the crap bag today.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, first, before I get into the sports stuff, I do have a question for Brian, our producer. Brian has been nice enough, because he's a music freak, he gave me a zip drive with a bunch of music on it. So, Brian, here's my musical question. You're chewing food now, but when you get done, you can answer my question. My question is, what's the protocol on zip drive music? So I have it. Is the protocol? Nobody's ever given me zip drive music.
No.
Is this a zip drive that I get to keep, or do I need to like download it to my computer or what I want and give it back to you? What's the protocol?
I always figure the protocol on that is that if you end up giving it back, that's nice of you, but I always accept it as a loss.
Okay.
Like, I assume the whole thing is yours.
Okay, this is mine. Okay. So I don't need to worry about rushing to like get it somewhere
nope.
to give it back to you.
But the cool thing would be, right, to get all that on his computer and give that back to you so you can reuse it.
And give him more.
And give him more, right, exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. That was a good sale.
I'll say this on the air. You know I have like 2,000 albums.
That is impressive.
2,000 albums? Where?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And they're almost all of them are backed up on my hard drive, which is right next to me.
There you go. Okay. All right. See, I just didn't know the protocol. I wanted to make sure I got this.
I didn't know if you had like actual physical albums.
I have every single thing that I have on here digitally, I have on CD. And everything, I have like probably 150, 200 actual vinyl albums.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
That's hardcore. All right, so crap bag wise, I did go to the Astros game, and it was a lot of fun. In terms of the baseball part of it, man, Garrett Cole can throw the ball.
Yes, he can.
There's a lot of good technology now at baseball games that has increased. It keeps increasing. Last time I went to a major league game was maybe 2 years ago, and the amount of information that they bombard you with at the ballpark is so awesome. But I didn't realize, Kevin, that not only now do I know how many pitches somebody's thrown, but as the pitch is thrown, not only can they tell me how fast it was, they identify the pitch.
Yeah, they give you that.
Live in the stadium.
That's nice.
Which I'm not exactly sure how ultimately accurate that is, but as Cole is pitching, I'm watching four-seam fastball. They put knuckle curve up there and different things like that. I'm like, well, that's really cool. By the way, he clocked up the fastball up at 98, and one of those curveballs they registered at 81.
Yeah, it's
what a gap that is.
And 81 would be hard for us, Chad, if we were in the box.
Oh my God, right?
Hard.
But these guys looking for the 98. I mean, they're just the 81's got them rocking and rolling.
He looked good though.
He was impressive. And then they put the kid in, CNL Perez.
Okay, the lefty they brought up
at the end of the game, and he was clocked. He threw three pitches at 97. He pitched 196 and 397s in like about a five pitch span.
As a lefty?
As a lefty.
Did he have command?
Yeah, pretty. I mean, he didn't give up anything. He only pitched an inning, but 10 pitches and seven of them were strikes.
Okay.
Command. Yeah. I want to
see more, but thumbs up so far.
Yeah. And of course, he walks in there with a 9-1 lead. So no pressure either. But he looked
smart managing. Get the feet wet. I mean, yeah. He's already going to be nervous and up 9-1.
He looked really, really good. So the other crap baggy kind of things, first of all, the food, had a dog.
Okay.
Had some nachos.
So you went probably what I would have done.
They're very good. I thought of going a little fancier. Like they had a barbecue deal and
Shake
they
Shack,
had
torchies.
Right. They had torchies over there. And I thought, no, I don't go to many baseball games. So let me go stereotypical. Right. So I did a dog and a soda and the kid did a pretzel because she loves the pretzels. And my wife and I shared nachos. All that was very good. We got our SFA hats for the alumni day.
Were they pretty cool?
They were cool. Astros logo on the front.
I saw the picture. They were.
All purple with the logo on the side. And you would have been proud. And I did text you this. But for everybody else, my kid, we're walking. I tried to get a Justin Verlander bobblehead. First 10,000 people got the bobblehead. But we got there after the 10,000 mark. So I said, oh, is it gone? No, it's gone. So I go back to the girls and I said, I'm sorry. The bobbleheads are done. So we're walking. And I said, well, you know, but I mean, I figured she'd be upset. And I said, well, you know, I mean, the real thing that we're here to get is that hat. And then my daughter goes, yeah, and we're here to watch a baseball game, Daddy. I figured Uncle Cabin Dune would appreciate that. Yeah.
There is hope for the future.
There is. And she had a great time, as I said earlier, a game with a lot of scoring, a game with home runs. And I was constantly telling her to watch Jose Altuve because she likes playing second base. And
you see him hustling. The communication? How much is he communicating?
Oh, that part's incredible. The communication's there. And the other thing I tried to communicate to her was big league players knowing how to be great base runners, knowing what to do, when to do it. Like I tried to explain to her, the first run Altuve scores to make it like 2-0, it was two outs. So there was a pop fly and he just takes off. And as I'm trying to explain to her the difference between, hey, there's less than two outs, you got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But why was he running there? By the time that ball hit the ground and the three guys couldn't get it.
Oh, he's home.
He's halfway between third and home. And so I'm kind of trying to walk her through all that stuff and trying to channel Doc Hastings and teach those moments. But yeah, she seemed to take a lot of it in.
He's one of those guys. Javi Baez is like this too, where they have such a good read on those balls. Even if there was one out, you'll see them take off. And sometimes it's a gamble, but they know when it's going to drop and when it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, another thing he did really well was there was a play, and it seems easy, but a play where I believe he was on first. It was first and third. And it was a sack fly to right field, and he tagged along with the guy from third. An easy thing to say, but maybe in the moment you don't always think of it. But it was right in front of him, and it's fairly easy to figure out. And then I explained to my daughter, look, he's not throwing that ball to first, and he's not throwing it to second. He's trying to get the guy at home, so Jose knows he can get to second. And then I believe he scored in that situation. So, yeah, her love of Altuve just went through the roof on Saturday.
It's also why you hit the cutoff guy if you're the outfielder.
Right.
So if the catcher does want to yell cut, you can pick off that runner.
That's true.
Trying
you
to
can get him
second.
If he wants to.
Yeah, he does. I mean, all these guys do it. You see it at the high school level. But Altuve especially, I love watching him when he's on base and his recognition of all the outfielders and where they're at. And he looks behind. He's not just looking at the shortstop.
Right. He wants to know where everybody is.
Because you really, the shortstop, that's up to the third base coach to let you know where he is. You need to keep an eye on the second baseman, but you need to know where those outfielders are.
So another weird detail of the game experience. Have you seen these parking garages that have red and green lights in them to tell you which parking spots are open?
What?
Have you experienced this yet?
Never.
It's technology that I don't think we need, but my God, it was cool.
Unnecessary?
It's completely unnecessary. It feels like first world things, right, that other people would just laugh at.
It's like whenever you get an automated or an electric desk or anything. It's, you know.
The vacuum cleaner.
It'll open up and it's like, well, I probably just could open that up with my hand.
But, exactly.
But it's cool.
Oh, my God. So this pipe stuff runs all over this parking garage and then there's a sensor, and when the car is pulled in, the sensor goes red. So as you pull through the lot, you get this sort of sense of, are there any greens in this row? They've even got signs.
That I like.
Right. They've even got signs at the end that will tell you how many open spaces are that way, how many open spaces are that way, and how many open handicap spaces are that way or that way.
Sounds like a lot of information.
It was really cool.
You were taking a lot of info, weren't you?
I was. A lot of stuff was going on. So we had the food, we had parking, we had the hats. It was very good. Now, as far as your lazy time TV for the next few days, you brought up the Sacha Baron Cohen thing.
Right.
That's this Sunday, though.
That was this Sunday. You can go to Showtime, though.
Oh, it started yesterday. Oh, okay.
I knew what was going on, but I hadn't looked at it enough till yesterday, and I was asleep by 9 o'clock last night.
Okay.
Old man.
Look at you, old man.
I know.
I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, no, not even that. Just fell asleep. And I know because of what I was watching and where it went off.
All right.
But yeah, that was on. I was able to record that. That was supposed to be great. We've got F That's Delicious new episodes that are going on.
Okay.
Layover is back on Netflix. You can see all those.
Layover's a Bourdain show?
Bourdain show where...
God, this guy did a lot of different shows.
He did, man. He was on the road 230 days out of the
year. So what's Layover? How's that different?
Good question. Layover was like Parts Unknown. I think they get to more of the food and the travel part of it quicker. Okay. It's if you have a 48-hour layover, what should you do in this city?
Oh, I see. A quicker. Okay. Okay, so a couple other things. I did finish off this Whitney Houston documentary. If you love music... If you love Whitney, now there's
sad.
Obviously there's some sadness, but there's some truth in this movie. I'm not a big tabloid guy. So if you follow tabloids, maybe you'll know a lot of this stuff. I did not know a good bit of what I found. Some key important things about Whitney Houston, the life, the development of it, and things that were going on. I'm not going to say anything, but just a really well done documentary called Can I Be Me on Showtime. And then tonight.
Is Bobby in it?
Bobby's in it. He's definitely in it. And a big part of it, that's the thing I would tell you. If you think you know exactly how Whitney and Bobby interacted and how him coming into the situation changed her, go watch this documentary and make sure you know, because I was under the wrong notion on some things in terms of how that all played out.
That it was all on him?
Right. Like a lot of people want to just say, well, it's all Bobby Brown. It's a little more complex than that.
No, they're both pretty heavy users.
And then
and they were also going back and forth when one was trying to quit and one wasn't.
I think that was definitely part of it as well. That one's really good. Sad, but really good. Also, I'm sure it's going to be good and sad tonight is the one I'm recording. 7 o'clock, HBO. I'm sure they'll replay it a ton. The documentary on Robin Williams. It's called Come Inside My Mind, and it's... I think it's people talking about Robin, but they also have his voice talking from, I don't know if it's journals or footage that they've never released or whatever. So it's a full take on Robin Williams' life.
Wow.
And that's tonight, 7 o'clock HBO.
Some good stuff going
there
on.
There really is. And again, that's going to be sad as you know what by the end of it. But it should be just like this Richard Pryor one that I just finished watching. I mean, there's sadness in there, but also you get to see the greatness and the complexity of these guys.
And you already know the end result. I mean, you know that those are all three sad endings, right?
Oh yeah, right, exactly. But I want to, yeah, I want to check that one out too. So if you're peeking in, we've had a couple listeners take our advice on watching some TV. So just some ideas for you for these next few days. You got Home Run Derby tonight, All Star Game tomorrow. So if you don't love baseball, two straight nights where you could be watching other things. Wednesday is completely bare. Thursday's only got one baseball game. So you got a few days coming here.
No, this is a dead week.
This is a dead sports week. All right, there's your crap.
Way to go, Big 12. Smart.
There's your crap bag. Of course, time it out. That's why we're talking Big 12 Media Days today.
Well, this is who they are. That was an obvious choice.
Yeah, obvious. Exactly. Coming up, we'll talk more Big 12 football. Talk with Rod Babers. He was up there today at Frisco. We'll get his perspective on day one of Big 12 Media Days coming up at about 4:30. Up next, we'll talk more about it, too. Remember, Texas is going to be coming up tomorrow. We'll give you all the details of that and when you can hear Tom Herman tomorrow. That's coming up on the Horn.